Dear flashcards, I confess, my emotions have been a mess. Cause you changed everything we ever knew. From witches to poison, and the queen walked too. Whoa, I've been wrong.
I was wrong.
Been out all night.
Way too long.
Getting hogs and Valkyries.
I pushed that button and believe in you again.
Welcome to episode 80 of Pineapples and Thorns. I'm Kat. And Peter, how are you tonight?
Good, thank you. How are you tonight?
I'm doing excellent, thank you. It's Friday. Spring has sprung. Not snowing.
Well, I thought you got snow today.
Well, it turned into rain, so it's...
Okay. Don't have to shovel the rain.
Not yet. Maybe tomorrow. We'll see. We have a very special guest tonight, and I'll introduce him in a minute, but do you want to take us into some CFF news first?
I have one big piece, because I don't think SCWL was really worth talking about, but Magirian Army spun war... going for war win number 900 right after SCWL, and they won.
Woo-hoo.
110 to 108. Yes, that is quite the milestone. 900 wins. Yes.
Yeah.
What else have I got? Oh, Revolution 9, still looking for Town Hall 9s to play with them. So if you have a Town Hall 9, you're interested in some all Town Hall 9 wars, they are still looking.
Okay. All right. Short list. Let's jump right into this. We have tonight with us the father of strategic rushing, Call Me T. Welcome, T.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
T is the former leader and currently a co-leader in the Sons of Guns Clan and the CFF. And like I said, he's the father of strategic rushing. We'll tell you all about that. So T, why don't you give us a little clash history, the town hall levels that you're currently playing and how you started playing?
I technically have a town hall 11 that's maxed, a town hall 14 that's maxed, and I have a Town Hall 16 that I am currently in the process of maxing, which I know might sound a little funny, but I used to play all three accounts regularly, question mark. But now I'm pretty much only playing my main. I started playing back in 2013, 2014, and I got to the Town Hall 9, Town Hall 10-ish period, and I quit when they did a big global change where they started hiding the bases that were in matchmaking, like dead bases in matchmaking, and it made it farming significantly more difficult.
Sure.
Yeah, and it was right around the time when like Town Hall 11 was either like just released or on like the precipice of being released. And well, we can get into it later, but like farming is one of my favorite things in Clash of Clans, and they wanted to encourage people to use bigger armies and go for 3 stars, and that's when they introduced the league bonuses, and I put those numbers in my spreadsheet and I was like, I don't want to do this. So that was around 2014, and then 2019 I was playing Brawl Stars, interestingly enough, and I came across a post by Clash with Dusk is his former name. And he had a whole blog where he talked about his rushing experience and why rushing was better. And I kind of like read that and was like, I remember this guy from when I used to play. And we used to talk about this. And it seems like magic items and timer changes and all of these things have kind of made rushing better. So I took his guide and I started an account in August of 2019. And I just started blitzing through the game. And it took about 18 months, and then I was maxed for that point, which was, I believe it was 2020, February, I hit max 13, was like done. Or I'm sorry, the following. So 18 months, that's how long it took. And that was with basically just Gold Pass, with like a couple extra. Like, I spend way too much money on cosmetics, but I don't really spend very much money on progression stuff other than Gold Pass.
So, you know, you talked a little bit about, you know, how you're rushing and, you know, how you discovered that it was a quick way to progress. Maybe explain to our listeners, what's the difference between a rusher and a strategic rusher?
I think the main thing between those two types of players is that a rusher is just someone who's upgrading haphazardly. They don't really have a plan. They're just hitting upgrade buttons because they like the look of something, or they want a new toy, or they're bored at their current town hall. And the sort of span of the type of player that you can get with a pure rusher is crazy. You can see things like level one archer towers at town hall 16. You can see things like, you know, level five heroes in like town hall 14. You know what I mean? It's wild. Whereas a strategic rusher is upgrading just the things that they need to keep them on the positive side of the offensive curve, and hitting their town hall upgrade button pretty much right as they're running out of those good offensive upgrades to do. And so you'll see someone that's strategic rushing, they'll have all of their army camps done, they'll have their lab up to date, their barracks up to date, their heroes, depending on how long they've been playing, their heroes could be either low and working up, or they could be pretty close to, you know, one or two town halls off the max for their current town hall. Kind of depends on their ability to farm and all of those things, but they're prioritizing their upgrades specifically and purposefully. And I think that's the differentiating factor.
That's a great explanation, because, you know, there's also, there's rushers, there's strategic rushers, there's, you know, engineered accounts. And, you know, I think it gets confusing when people are applying to clans. You know, rushers have always had sort of a really bad rep, that dating back to the days of Global, where you'd be insulted if your stuff wasn't maxed. And so it, you know,
for sure,
I think it helps clans who are perhaps recruiting to know that there are people who are purposefully rushing, and that will eventually, sooner rather than later, get to towards the max levels.
It's funny, I actually talk about that in my guide, because it's so important to define your terms. Because even on Reddit, and where all of these people think that they know everything and they have everything figured out and all the definitions are quote unquote the same, somebody that says they're a maxer can also vary, because some people are the purest form of maxer, which is what I call like the crazy maxer. And they're the ones who will not hit the town hall button until everything on the list is done.
That's me, guilty.
Right. And that's crazy. And I, if that brings you pleasure, I applaud you. My hat is off to you. I could not do that. But there are also people who call themselves maxers, but they'll do things like, oh, well, all my builders are done and I'm not going to wait for my lab. Or all my buildings are done, but my heroes aren't. And they'll do these little things where they're still calling themselves maxers, but aren't actually maxing. So it's important to define those terms and to figure out where you are. And I call it the rush spectrum, because only the people that are waiting until the town hall is the last thing, those are the only people that I think are maxers. They're the only people I will respect and call maxers. Everything short of that, you're rushing. You're just rushing on a different spectrum.
Your guide is amazing. So I had a Town Hall 14. It was my kid's account, and I've been kind of farming it when I felt like it. And I think you released the, are you in the third iteration now? Is it version 3?
This is, I guess it kind of depends how you define. So I had an original rush guide that I put out in, I think, 2021, but I am very bad with dates times, so don't quote me on that. And then around when Town Hall 15 came out, I did a big overhaul and a big pass. And I updated everything, and I kind of changed and tweaked some stuff. And then I was still getting nonstop DMs and questions. And so I decided I'm going to rewrite the entirety of the guide from scratch, from a different viewpoint. So rather than giving people step-by-step instructions of, okay, you're a Town Hall 7, here's what you upgrade in this order. And when you get all these things done, you upgrade. Well, Supercell changes things a lot. And then they released the blacksmith, and I was like, I am not going back and changing all of those town hall guides. So I was like, okay, I need to rewrite it with the idea of providing people with the logic and the reasoning and the general idea of how to rush, rather than like a template that people are just going to follow. Because every time Supercell would change something, people would be like, oh, T, the I don't know, barracks is different now. There's only one instead of four. Does that change how you should? And I'm like, no, the priorities are still the same. Everything is still the same. The logic is still the same. It's just, yes, the specifics get shifted around. And yeah, so.
I think my first read-through was that version 2 when I first hit Town Hall 15. And, you know, it's just, it's heroes down as much as you can. And that seems very appealing to so many people right now. The CFF is seeing an influx of people because you posted that guide and this is where you are. It's ridiculous. I can't believe how many new people. I think we filled the rated, didn't we, Kat, in a couple of weeks? Yeah, opened it up and all kinds of guys. And they're active, right? They want to play. They're on there all the time farming.
Yeah, because amazing people.
Well, because farming and upgrading is fun.
More toys, exactly.
You get more toys.
Which I think is your point is to get to the best toys as fast as you can.
Right. And not for nothing, when I started playing in 2019, I didn't really have a whole lot of problems joining clans, surprisingly, even though 2 weeks after I created the account, I was already in Town Hall 9 and just going crazy. But the biggest problem that I was having with organizing a clan is that you need higher level Town Hall players to donate and have strategies and get you into higher clan SCCWL clan leagues and all of those things. But that takes years. So if you want to like recruit a Town Hall 8 and you're a clan that's mostly Town Hall 16s, that Town Hall 8 is never going to meaningfully contribute. Even if they're a great player and they're super fun and you want to have them in your clan because they're good, you kind of need to have a different clan that's focused on low Town Hall players. And what I figured out with rushing was with a lot of the things that you can kind of, they're not exploits because they're legal in the game, but you're kind of taking advantage of the default math that's in a game like Clash, and you're getting more offensive power in a shorter amount of real lifetime elapsing. So your clan grows stronger and more effective faster. And when you multiply that over 50 members, you suddenly have this clan that's capable of doing things that would have taken a maxing clan years to accomplish.
So could I ask then, how much time do you think you can really save from like a maxer's point of view to a strategic rusher to get to that point where you're a Town Hall 16 that can now contribute in an SCWL week?
So it depends a little bit about whether you're free to play or if you get gold pass. Now, obviously you can spend way more than gold pass and get tons and tons of books and, you know, get faster progression, whatever. But I really only write my guide for either the free to play player or someone who's willing to spend $7 a month now on gold pass. And that's really where I think the best progression per dollar exists in Clash of Clans. I don't think many of the shop offers are worth buying unless you have disposable cash and Clash is like your only game and it's something that brings you a lot of joy to do. I don't really recommend anybody buying any of those other offers. But I do think, in my opinion, I'm always willing to spend money to support the developers that are making games that I enjoy. So $7 a month, while it's a little offensive that they decided to bump it up from $5 a month for kind of no reason, I'm still willing to do that, and I think it's a pretty big value. So from the perspective of a maxer that is buying gold pass, currently in the game, if you unlock auto optimally, you unlock your 20% discount optimally, and all of those things are true and exist, you're looking at roughly 4-ish years to max. And you can get that a little bit lower because as you get closer to Town Hall 16, you start to be able to knock off more things with hammers and books and all of that. But the bulk of your time is going to be around the four-year mark. And that's assuming we exist in a vacuum where Supercell doesn't release four more Town Hall levels in those 4 years. Now, from the perspective of a strategic rusher, it varies depending on when you do the math, because, like, for example, when I started, Town Hall 12 was the maximum Town Hall. So my projected max point was roughly 13-ish months. But then in the middle of, well, actually 4 months into my playtime, Town Hall 13 came out, and then they kept adding hero levels and they kept adding defense levels. So that kept bumping out my time to max. So I conceivably, I could have been maxed faster than 18 months, but it took about 18 months because of the additional levels and stuff that they released. Now, that figure of 18 months using Gold Pass and optimal unlocking of auto and the same caveats as before, that seems to be around the marker of how long it takes to max an account with strategic rushing. So sometimes it might be closer to 20 months if you kind of come in right as Supercell releases a bunch of new stuff and doesn't do time reductions. It could be as close, like closer to 16 months if you come in after a bunch of releases and Supercell does a time reduction. But this last Town Hall, Supercell also did a pretty decent time reduction pass. So say if you started in December, you could probably be maxed by the following March or so.
Which is crazy, plus or minus. That's just amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's wild because the thing that you're fundamentally exploiting is that there are a bunch of varying upgrade levels. And I'll talk about this with just two examples that are pretty illustrative of the process. So we have 7 Archer Towers to upgrade from Town Hall 2 to Town Hall 13. Or I'm sorry, from Town Hall 2 to Town Hall 15. And then it kind of changes for Town Hall 16. But you have 21 levels for each of those 7 Archer Towers. That's a lot of levels, and a lot of those levels are pretty poor in terms of hit points, DPS, and time, right? They're not great value. But for scatter shots, we have significantly fewer scatter shots. There's only 2. And we have significantly fewer levels to do on those scatter shots. So if you start to say, okay, well, if I focus all of my magic items onto the things like scatter shots, and I use those to max out that last level or the last 2 levels, now I'm suddenly cutting off gigantic chunks of time, and I'm getting bigger defensive improvements because having 2 max level scatter shots is way more important than having even 2 max level archer towers. And you just start rinse and repeating that across your whole base, and you start getting these crazy value propositions. Like, I don't think I've, well, technically I have, because with like the last, whenever they release a new town hall, you can only store so many metals and so many magic items and so on and so forth. So eventually you got to do the upgrades normally. But of all of the important upgrades that Supercell has released for Town Hall 16 so far, I think I've done 2 Inferno Tower levels naturally with builders. Oh, everything else I did with magic items. So you just, yeah. And that's not spending money. That's spending Gold Pass and just storing CWL medals.
And having
patience. So you just you just buy a hammer every week and then use that. So
okay. So if a new player comes, like someone's related to you, and they say, "Ti, I've heard you talking about this, and I want to follow your guide." What's the first thing you kind of tell them? How do you get them thinking in a strategic rushing way?
Well, interestingly enough, my in-laws, my brother-in-law, my father-in-law, and my nephew-in-law all play Clash and all refuse to listen to me.
Okay, so Brendan's a relative of mine then. Okay.
right. So the thing that I always tell people is the number one thing to keep in mind when you're in those low town halls, number one, have fun, right? Those lower town halls, the timers are super short. The attacks are very simple. It's kind of a blast. You just have fun. Don't worry too much. The thing to focus on are you want to get your barbarians to the max level for whatever town hall you're at. You want to always drop and upgrade your army camps as soon as you're able, and just keep upgrading your town hall kind of as soon as those 2 things are done. And at some point, it's usually somewhere around town hall 7, town hall 8, someone will come back to me and be like, "Hey, you know, the timers are getting a little longer. It's getting a little more complicated." And then I'm like, okay, now you're going to want to start working on, say, baby dragons or Barch, or start watching some YouTube videos on how people are using their army comps at your town hall level. But again, those lower town hall levels are just kind of really fun. Are. Like, it's very easy to triple. The timers are super small. Like, Supercell's done a great job of making, I think, up to about town hall 9, town hall 10 to be pretty fast. It's not super punishing in terms of the amount that you need to farm to keep your builders busy. And I kind of am just like, if you want to play Clash and not pay super close attention, like, that's what you should be doing. It's just having fun, upgrading your barbs, upgrading your archers, smashing bases, and just going that way. Beyond that, I think when people start to get to Town Hall 9 and they start to realize how important Dark Elixir is and how much Dark Elixir they're going to need, is when I start to be like, okay, now is when you start to focus. Now is when you start to make sure your camps are done, your clan castle's done. You want to find a clan that will help you with, you know, attack strategies and farming strategies and CC troops and all that kind of stuff, and like kind of get involved in the game. I think Town Hall 9 is like the start of Clash of Clans, in my opinion. I still think it's kind of an irrelevant town hall, and I've had fights with people all throughout the community because I think people look at Town Hall 9 with like rose tinted glasses on. But yeah, I think there was a time where I would have agreed with you that Town Hall 9 was the best town hall, but I think that time has passed, in my opinion. But at Town Hall 9, you can also, like, that's when you have 30 levels of Archer Queen to do, you have 25 levels of, or 20 levels of Barbarian King to do. So the game goes from a very lackadaisical, like, this is just fun and silly and kind of entertaining, to, okay, I need to focus up. And I think that's when people start to be like, okay, you should get your builders done, either by pushing and getting achievements and using your gems to buy your builders, or just buying them with cash, whichever is easier or you prefer. And that's that kind of like Town Hall 9 is like, this is the decision point of, do you really want to play this game, or do you just want to kind of mess around?
That's right.
And if you want to mess around, play however you want. But if you're looking to get to Town Hall 16 and you know that you want to get to Town Hall 16 ASAP, Town Hall 9 is when you buckle down, you get your builders, and that's when you start going, I don't really care about Golden Elixir. Every raid I do needs at least, I think in Town Hall 9, I think is around 4,000 Dark Elixir is a good target. And it just goes higher from there. And that's kind of where things, you probably want to read my guide, because that's where things start to get a little more.
I mean, you start talking about ratios, but pretty much get your heroes, get them down, keep them down all the time, and just farm nonstop.
Mm-hmm. I think the important thing that I try to stress in the guide is that you don't really need to farm nonstop. You just have to farm intentionally, and you have to farm in a way that works for you and your schedule, because I've seen way too many people burn out from farming because they just farm way more than they need. So many people message me and say, oh, T, what do I do? My builders are busy for another few days. I have max storages. Well, what do I do? And I have the same response every time. My response is, relax. It means you didn't space your builders correctly, or you didn't space your farming correctly. One of those two things is true, or possibly both. And I always try to tell people, you want to make sure that your builders are freeing up every other day or every day, depending on how the timing works. And you don't want something like, oh, I have four builders free, I'm going to start all four of my air defenses, and then whenever those four air defenses are done, okay, now I have four builders free again. And that might work in the lower town halls, where the storages that you can, the amount of loot that you can fit in your storage is significantly higher than the cost of the things that you're upgrading. But as you get into those higher town halls, like Town Hall 12, 13, or higher, you kind of need 75% or more of your storage to start a defense or start an offense. And then, well, what do you do? If you have to start means you have to turbo farm, right? Like, it's crazy. So rather than always having full storages, what I always did was I would focus on one type of upgrade at a time. So my guide says you focus on your offense. So those are generally elixir buildings. So I would farm up all the elixir that I needed for the next upgrade, and then I'd stop playing. And I would space that out over, you know, say if I had a builder coming free in 3 days, I knew, okay, well, I want to start this next upgrade. It costs 3 million elixir and I have 3 days. So I just need to farm 1 million elixir a day. Done. And then I would start the next upgrade and I would do the math again and I'd figure out, okay, this is how much elixir I need. And I would do that. And then every time a builder would free up, I would dump all of the excess loot that I had into my walls that I didn't need. And then I would start the next upgrade. And you just kind of space things out.
And
that
I mean,
way.
Talking about all the different things that people have to start worrying about as they get past Town Hall 9, you know, with all the equipment that we're getting. I mean, it seems like just a new one every month or every other month, and there's no sign of them slowing this down. How does all this new equipment affect the strategic rusher?
So the only thing that the equipment really did was make me suggest people rush faster. Yeah. So, okay. One of the things that I had to consider deeply when I was rewriting the guide, and I actually did a little bit of an edit pass a month after releasing the third version, because I had to change my opinions a little bit. Where previously I was saying, realistically, the only thing that mattered was you upgrade your offensive buildings, you keep your heroes down, and then you upgrade your town hall. That's it. Now I'm sort of like, I don't know if you should keep every one of your heroes upgrading constantly, forever, for always. Mostly because if you can devote one or two extra builders towards your offensive buildings, that lets you upgrade your town hall faster. And here's the thing. Supercell built a couple of odd incentives into the equipment. And what I mean by that is they're incentivizing people to get to higher leagues in matchmaking. So Titan, Legends, yes, something along those lines. And they're incentivizing people to attack higher town halls in regular wars. And technically SCCWL as well. So those two things put a lot of pressure on you to have a higher and higher town hall, because you get more ore. And when you get more ore, you can upgrade your equipment faster. And it's, I think, a detriment to the game overall that they did it that way and didn't tie it the same way that everything else is tied in the game, where it's your overall activity level that determines your progression. Kind of fixing it to once a day for your league bonus, and on average once a day for your regular war attacks. You know, obviously it's two every 2 days, but you know.
Yeah, because there's really not a lot of ways that you can get ore other than that. And I know Itsu talked about the need for another method of obtaining ore other than purchasing in the shop.
Mm-hmm. I felt that their misstep was they should have attached some amount of ore to your general win bonus, like for every matchmaking attack that you do. So they could do it the same way that they attach the scaling amount that you get. So for example, in Legends League, I think you get 300,000,
yeah,
2.2K or something like that for getting your full three star. But if you only get a one star, 20%, you get a smaller portion of that. They should have done the same thing and attached some ore to that. And this way you can have your activity level contribute to your ability to get your ore. And I kind of understand why Supercell did that, did not do that. But my interpretation of it is not particularly charitable to Supercell.
The feeling I'm getting from listening to people around on the various servers and in the game is that, you know, there's all these pieces of equipment being introduced very quickly and limited amounts of ore that you can get. And along with these events to introduce epic equipment every other month, it seems like they're overwhelming the player base. What do you think?
I think it's very frustrating the way that they've implemented equipment in general. I think the summary of how I feel about equipment would be frustration, because I think the idea of introducing equipment and splitting them off from base hero levels was inspired. And I think having these extra tools is great. I think it's done wonders for creativity in attacking. I think it's done wonders for activity in the game. I think at least initially people were super jazzed and very excited, and everybody was like, oh, this is so new and this is so great. I think the stumbling block is the fact that they're just not willing to inject more ore into the system in some way. Because I was a max Town Hall 15 when Town Hall 16 dropped. And I think the silliest thing that they did was only give us level 15 of our existing equipment. I think that was a shot in the foot. I think it was very silly for Supercell to do that, because what it meant was everybody has to upgrade their equipment just to make parity where they were before. And I think that was very silly. And I think they would have gotten a much more positive response to it if they had given everybody, like the max level four, just the existing equipment, and then all of the new stuff is just new toys. It's not like, oh, well, first I have to upgrade the stuff that I already had, and then I have to upgrade the stuff that I don't have yet. And that fundamentally feels different. It doesn't feel as rewarding or as kind or as player focused, yeah. I think. And with like them releasing all of these epic equipment, I don't know. To me, the fun part of the equipment is experimenting and testing and having options. And I'll tell you right now, I still don't have some of the initially released equipment maxed. Without purchasing ore, I don't think you physically could, because I've done every regular war attack that I could have, except the last two CWLs, I didn't do the bonus wars because I was traveling and I just didn't have time. I've always gotten my daily loot bonus, and I've maxed out the previous events. And after getting the equipment, I spend all of the extra cookies that you get or extra resources that you get. I spent them all on ore. So to me, it's like you introduce this insanely interesting component to the game that everybody wants to interact with. And then you made it so that it's a hard, fast limit of how long it takes you to get access to them, which to me is cross-purpose. Why would I want people to have these cool toys and then play the game less and still get them at the same level? Like, that's not how anything else in Clash works.
Yeah, it did seem to really take a different path from the way things have happened in the past. And and you really did notice a big difference in your heroes and their abilities. Like, when you first started playing at Town Hall 16, when you upgraded, it's getting better now as people upgrade their various equipment. What do you think? Do you feel like all of these new things, you know, the new town hall level, new troops, there was the Root Rider, which really impacted the game, new equipment. It seems to almost be driving a wedge between, you know, the so-called pros of the game and the casual player base. You know, both sides seem to want something completely different. Now, how are the developers and the management at Supercell going to make both sides happy?
I don't think it's possible to ever really have a game that pleases both your hardcore esports level players and your casual players. I just don't really think anybody's hit that line perfectly. I think Supercell currently has overreacted to the way that Town Hall 15 was released. And I think one of the problems that the Clash community has, in my opinion, is that people say that they want a difficult town hall, but every time Supercell has released a difficult town hall, player engagement has fallen off a cliff and people get very upset.
Agreed.
And nobody wants to play the game. So I think they have a very delicate balancing act to do, and it's challenging. And I think one of the problems that I have with Supercell currently is that when I restarted in town hall, when I restarted in 2019, Supercell was putting out regular communications, talking with the player base, discussing things like balance. They were willing to say that they got something wrong. They were willing to make changes. And it just seemed like they were engaged with the community. They were willing to make stuff different and interesting and address player concerns. And then somewhere post-COVID, things kind of started to shift. And I think ever since the China server got split off, we've seen a massive fall off in terms of how Supercell has communicated with the community. And I think you can really see the difference in how the community responds, because Town Hall 15 was almost like a blank for communication. We didn't really know what was happening. We didn't really know how they were going to adjust things. And then, kind of out of nowhere, Town Hall 16 dropped. It dropped, you know, 6 months earlier than the 18-month Town Hall release schedule was supposed to happen. And that was kind of a surprise. And then all of a sudden, we're now getting a Town Hall release every 12 months. And it just seems like the communication part of Supercell's community outreach is broken or having issues. And I think more than anything, that's what you need to have a game that makes more of your player base happy, is just talking, expressing, explaining, telling people, okay, we see Root Riders. We see that they're too strong. We see that they're too powerful. But
yep.
players love
really
them. Everybody's using them, right? And so that's a challenge. So I've always said that one of the things that I think has to be true for esports and Clash of Clans to be good is some amount of balance that only takes place on the esports side of things. And whether that's like how communities used to run Town Hall 9, no witch attacks, or, you know, Town Hall 10, no siege, like, right? Like, those are interesting ways, because the community knew and has known and knows now that Town Hall 9 is not fundamentally balanced. So if you want to do a Town Hall 9 tournament, bans have to happen, right? It's not very fun to watch two Town Hall 9s triple each other in like 15 seconds with witches and a giant arrow.
Maybe a minute 15, but okay, yeah.
So,
well, it's fun for the witch people, but...
Right. Right. Well, yeah, I mean, it's fun to execute those. I everybody loves to triple, but when you're in a televised or streamed event, it's not the most fun to thing to see necessarily. You want to see people doing, you know, crazy barge attacks and still
triple. But those balances were community driven. You know, that those balances did not come from Supercell.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Supercell doesn't want to sponsor any events that have those community balancing issues on them. And I think that's probably got to change. Or Supercell could do something like an esports version, because most of the esports players are playing on a build or so they could do something like, hey, on the esports version, Root Riders do 4% less DPS and have 6% less HP. And maybe that's enough, right? Like, it doesn't
limit their heroes to level 60, perhaps, or something like that.
I mean, I honestly, I think it would be interesting if they did more of those kind of wacky out of the, you know, norm type tournament events. I always said, like, what if a tournament was just you only get your heroes and everybody's got to try and do the best that they can with just heroes, or maybe heroes plus like 20 troop space or 50 troop space or whatever. And, you know, everybody always comes back and says, oh, well, Supercell wants these events to be streamed and people that are watching them to be able to, you know, oh, this is going to be the same game that I can play. And I have always argued that if somebody's watching a stream and they don't currently play Clash of Clans, they will never be able to play what they see on the stream. Because even if they start that day, unless they're willing to drop 30 grand, they're never going to be able to play. Like, for example, somebody watches streams today and it's Town Hall 16 versus Town Hall 16 and they start today. Even if they strategic rush and follow my guide to the letter and they get gold pass and do everything optimally, 18 months from now, it'll be Town Hall 17. So why do we care?
Yeah.
What's the problem? We could just have fun and have challenges and have interesting esports where it's like, okay, this split, what we're doing is no Root Riders. And then the next split is no healers. And the next split is heroes get minus 15 levels.
It would really challenge the pro players. And I know Judo in one of his videos had mentioned, I think it was one of his interviews with Darian, about the ability for clans to, if they're doing a friendly war, to set parameters in.
Oh man, that would be incredible.
You know, you can choose right now one hit and the amount of time, but how difficult would it be? And I'm not a developer, so I don't know, to say, okay, you can select the types of troops that are allowed.
I think it would be a challenge. Just the small amount that I know of Supercell's development and their build and their code and all of those things, I don't think it would be a non-issue, right? I don't think that's a flick a couple switches, add a library and a couple lines of code and you're good. But I do think you're 100% right that would be a huge boon for the communities that play Clash and keep Clash alive. Because one of the things that we always used to struggle with was, if we wanted to do esports, it used to mean that you had to essentially not engage with regular wars with your clan. It often meant you had to leave your clan to go to a different clan, because a lot of tournaments required you to have a level one clan instead of using your level 20 or whatever clan. And so when you had guys that were doing esports in your clan, all of a sudden you'd have seven people leave your clan for a day to go do an event, And you didn't even get to watch their attacks. You didn't even get to root, like, cheer them on or root for them or any of those things. And when I was in, my biggest portion of esports was during, like, the COVID lockdown period. And we used to, like, have to stream to each other so that our clanmates could watch us instead of being able to run the event out of our clan. And especially now where regular wars are so much more meaningful because of the ore requirements. You're even less likely to want to do esports. And I just think that's silly. I think being able to run the friendly wars the way that you want to run them and make it easy for people in the game to do it.
Well, it really did make a big difference in this last update where they finally allow people to be in a random spin and go do a friendly war and even do SECWL at the same time. It's people have been asking for that for years. And, you know, with people needing the ore, having to opt out of a regular war so that you could do a friendly esports style war in one of these tournaments was really hurting the people wanting to participate.
Right.
Exactly.
And you're setting yourself back. you're actively like harming your own progression. And when you're playing progression, the game, it just seems silly, right?
Yeah. What do you think if Supercell nerfs the hero potion back to the original 5 levels, do you think that would have a significant impact on the guide into strategic rushed town halls?
Not necessarily, because most of the fundamental math and incentives kind of stay the same. The hero potion change essentially just eliminated any of the downsides, which is why I kind of was like, yeah, just start hitting that town hall button, man. Just keep hitting it. Like, because it used to be, oh, well, there will be periods where you won't have enough hero potions to get through a full CWL, or you'll have to do regular war attacks and you'll have to, you know, suffer through them with either no heroes or low heroes. But, you know, the hero potion used to mitigate that a little bit. You know, plus 5 levels used to be an ability level. That was, like, decent. But nowadays, and the thing that I actually recommend in the guide is once you get a hero to the 8-day upgrade level, that's when you kind of stop focusing on that hero, because that's when you get the maximum benefit from Books of Heroes. So what you actually want to do is you want to get all 4 of your heroes to that point and then refocus on to offenses and defenses and building at your base. And you can throw levels at your heroes whenever you have enough DE, but it's not necessarily the same kind of focus, because 2 things become true. Number 1 is that you've reached the pinnacle of value for your books, and that's great. That's a huge benefit. But the second thing is true is that after Town Hall 14, which is where you generally hit that 8-day upgrade period, the gain that you get per hero level levels off. So if you look at a chart from level 0 or, you know, level 1 up to around that point, that Town Hall 14 level, you're looking at kind of like a linear progression of around a 40% improvement from, you know, level 1 to that point. So for Archer Queen, I believe that's level 80, if I'm remembering correctly. And you're getting pretty decent value for each one of those upgrades. Now, after that... You're not really. You're getting very, very small improvements. So I think if they nerf the hero potions back to their previous point, I would go back to saying 24/7 upgrade on your hero until it gets to that point and then leave it. And then focus on your lower heroes and get all of them to 8 days. And then once all of them are at 8 days, ideally by that point, you'll probably have maxed that, you know, say Archer Queen was your first one to the 8-day mark. You only need 15 books to get her from level 80 to maxed. So that's probably 6 months or so, depending on your ability to farm gems from your achievements, your ability to get gold pass Books of Heroes.
How kind they are in clan games, yes.
Right, right, exactly. And if, you know, there are certain times of the year that we get random Books of Heroes, like Christmas time, there's usually like an extra free Book of Heroes. And every so often there's like a $1 Book of Hero shop event that you can nab and things like that. So you could conceivably have that Archer Queen done for free with no builder time in 6 months. So then that lets you, okay, well, now I have a max Archer Queen. And so I think the hero potion thing really just mitigated it to the point where now in the guide, I suggest you spend raid medals on hero potions so that you can essentially have maxed heroes at any point in time.
Whenever you need them, that's right.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think depending on what type of clan you are, you're in and where you are on the clan list, like say, for example, you're the highest town hall in the clan and you're willing to somewhat stunt your own progress, you can get some benefit from using hero potions to get better war attacks and keep your heroes awake a little bit longer. Like say, for example, you time it so that Friday and Sunday you have regular war spins, and so maybe 3 days you let your heroes stay awake and you use a power potion for those 4 attacks. Well, okay, maybe that helps you win a couple more wars yeah. than you would have otherwise. But if they nerf the hero potion, fundamentally the hero potion wasn't a component of the previous rush guide. It was something like, okay, hey, if you have hero potions, pop them during CWL, save them for CWL, and right. you'll get a little bit of a benefit. Now your hero level doesn't yeah. really give you that much. It might give you, depending on where your heroes are at, it might give you 10% power boost. It might give you 15 to 20 if your heroes are particularly low, or right. it might give you like 4%, which is not really worth worrying about.
One of the folks in the CFF server was asking if you had co-hosted a podcast once before and they wanted to know, would you ever consider doing one focused solely on strategic rushing? And do you think it would be viable?
I think the problem with that is that my answers for strategic rushing don't really change. So the episodic content that you'd need for a podcast generally requires you to change what you're saying from episode to episode. And I find myself not doing that. I would love to be on more podcasts. I'm happy to be a guest anywhere. I love talking about Clash. I love talking about the updates. But I think one of the problems that I've had in sort of squaring whether or not I could do a podcast is what else would I talk about? Because realistically, I can tell you how to rush in 2 minutes. I can tell you how to rush in probably about an hour, and that's probably all I really need, right? I can give you the high-level summary in a couple of minutes, and I can give you everything that you possibly need to know in about an hour, which is kind of what the guide is, in my opinion, depending on how fast you can read. Like, that's everything. The guide tells you everything, and I can summarize, but what else is there is the question that I was always left with. Like, what else do I talk about? So I'm always happy to answer people's questions and talk to them about it and explain some of my reasoning and all of those things. And if Supercell put out content that affected rushing more frequently, like the blacksmith was a fundamental change in how I had to think about and explain rushing. But that was the first bit of content that really changed anything about rushing since probably 2013.
It really was a major impact on the game, wasn't it?
Can I ask then a question that like a follow-up to the blacksmith? Is it then the best bet for anyone strategically rushing to try to push as high a league as they can? Like if they can get into Legends, is that worthwhile?
So Legends specifically, I would say maybe. Depending on your town hall and your activity level, the problem with Legends is if you aren't able to triple the things that you're facing, you only get 8 attacks. Which could potentially not be enough for what you need to keep upgrading, depending on where you're at in your journey. I suggest, and this is what's in the guide, is that you go as high as comfortable, which, depending on your town hall, could be... I used to recommend almost blanket, go from Crystal 3 to Master 1. That was where all the loot was, that's where I recommended everybody hang out, and that's where I was like, you know, you get a decent bonus from your wins, you get a decent daily bonus. And it's not bad. You can usually find dead bases and there's lots of loot and all of those things are good. Now I suggest you probably want to go the next tier or even 2 tiers above that. So if you were hanging out in Crystal 1, you probably want to go to at least Master 1 or Champs 1 or Titans 3. And if you were hanging out in Master 1, you probably want to start hanging out in Titans. And those are the things where I never would have recommended that before. I really don't think I ever recommended anybody go above Master 2 in my original guide, because you didn't need to. But now, 100%, you want to get as high of a league as humanly possible that you can comfortably like live. And that somewhat depends on your ability to maintain your shield and your activity level and when you farm and all of those things. So I don't necessarily say everybody should go to Titan 1 immediately. It's kind of dependent on your specific personal point in your journey. But you want to go somewhere where you're starting to get attacked a little more than you want and hang there.
If you could ask Supercell for one thing in the game right now, what would it be and why?
Oh, man, that's a big question. What's funny is I had an answer for this, and then my brain deleted the answer because I was like, oh, I already thought about the answer.
Okay, then while you think about it, what do you think of the general state of the game at the moment? Like, how are you liking Root Riders and being able to triple and not being able to defend? How are you finding it?
Again, it's a bit of a mixed bag, right? I thoroughly enjoy the fact that in regular wars, my hit rate is somewhere around 50-55%, which, I'm not as active at pursuing the highest level attack strategies as I used to be. So for me to be in that 50% or 55% hit rate is kind of ridiculous in my opinion, because I'm not really doing regular FCs. I'm not really watching the highest level streams anymore. I'm not really engaged in that top level, highly focused, highly practiced aspect of the game. And part of that is because it's not particularly interesting to me anymore. So I think that kind of answers your question, right? Like, I'm not really interested in pursuing the top level attack strategies anymore because I don't think they're particularly fun to pursue.
Fun, right? What are you using right now?
This specific second, I'm using a Super Dragon attack because the event is going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the event is ongoing, Gale.
But before the event, I had been using Queen Charge Root Riders.
Okay, yeah. So Queen Charge is fun. You know, it challenges you on a daily. You know, everyone is a little different depending on her mood.
I think so. And I And, I've got a decently upgraded Frost Arrow. I think it's level 23 at the moment. So, it's decent. But trying to deal with the queen with no hit point recovery and my reflexes, my ability to focus it's challenging for sure.
What are you pairing the frozen arrow with?
Invisibility vial.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. No hit point recovery. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's funny. I think one of the things that I want to play around with is that I want that healer puppet and the giant arrow, because I'd love to do more like Sui hero attacks, but I feel like I'm missing the oomph that is required because I don't have those equipment leveled yet.
Right.
That reminds me. That's what I want in the game. So I've spoken to a few people that do have access to the developer build, and in the developer build, you can use any equipment at any level. And I think a practice mode that would be added to the game where you could experiment with your equipment is the number one thing that I would like to
that
be added
be great.
To the game. And I know that's kind of a big ask, right? But it's, they used to have those little practice attacks that came out with every town hall, and then they haven't released any in forever. Even something like that where it's a static base and you can just switch the equipment that you're going into that static base with would be a massive improvement where I could actually test things.
Yeah.
Because so many people ask me, what's the best equipment on what hero? And I'm not spending enough money on Clash to max those things and be able to test them. So I don't know. I can tell you what I've seen on streams and what I've seen on Itzu's videos and Carbon's videos and Judo's videos, but none of us really know until you actually get to start playing with it and testing it and using it. And that to me is a massive detriment. And I'm not saying that Supercell should just let us use max equipment immediately, but at least test it. So I know, I really like using the healer puppet.
This is going to be worthwhile. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I agree. That would be great.
And it's a big investment. It's a month to get a common piece of gear from level 1 to level 18, and it's roughly 3 months, depending on your war win rate, to get a piece of epic equipment from level 1 to level 27. So that's like, I don't know, to me that's a huge investment in time for something that you don't know that you're going to enjoy. Whereas before, heroes were a huge investment, but you knew that those were the biggest thing. They were the biggest component of your offense.
They gave us super troops, and they gave us that little sandbox to play in, right? That one base with all the, and then you could see, that's fun, how the super Valk drops their rage. You know, not that anybody used them after that, but I'm not sure, but... Yeah, we all tried. A couple people tried.
Their attempts were made.
Cool. Fuzzy wants to know where your current profile picture comes from.
So that is a meme. It's the Stonks meme, only it has been changed with a goose, and the goose is saying honks. It's a little cut off because Discord rounds off your profile, but that's...
Rounds your picture, yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
It is the Stonks meme guy replaced with a goose.
What's your number one pet peeve in real life?
Oof. I think the number one pet peeve I have in real life is when people genuinely ask me for my advice on something that I am good at and know what I'm talking about, and I give them good advice, and then they don't listen.
And is that while playing Clash, or is that in real life?
I mean both.
You mean both. Okay. And do you have a pet peeve while teaching someone Clash? Same thing? You give them advice and they just don't listen?
I think the number one pet peeve I have with teaching Clash is people who think that maxers by default are better attackers. And this is I know it's not time for shout outs yet, but this is a shout out to Congressman Rick, the moderator of the Clash of Clans subreddit, who I've had lots of very fun, very productive, very friendly conversations with. I really like the guy. I think he's very nice. But Rick, you're wrong. I think one of the things that people persist in believing is that spending more time in lower town halls makes your skills better. And that is not necessarily true or false. It's disconnected from that. Your ability to attack in Clash is solely and entirely tied to how much you practice attacking in Clash, which may sound very simple when you put it that way. But what I mean is, at any point in Clash, you can learn to queen charge as long as you have a queen. At any point in Clash, you can learn how to do a witch smash. You can learn how to do Lalo. You can learn how to do any attack in the game at any point in time, as long as you devote the time to practicing it. So if you're maxing and you're in Town Hall 10 and you want to learn how to queen charge, go right ahead. You have the tools, you have access to it, you can do it. If you've never queen charged in your entire Clash game, and you're Town Hall 16 and you want to learn, you can do it. You have the tools. It's called a friendly challenge and YouTube. And that's it. That's all that it takes to get good at Clash, is time to practice, time to learn, and repetition. That's it. And I think that's like the thing that pisses me off when people are like, well, if you stay at Town Hall 9 longer, you'll be better at queen charging. Like, no, you won't. You'll be better at queen charging Town Hall 9. Sure. But that doesn't help you at Town Hall 16.
Yeah,
right.
For sure.
Yes, very different game.
Yeah.
Well, especially now that you can, you know, friendly challenge yourself, it's really made a difference.
Right. Yeah. There's no excuse now. Right.
Well, we all have excuses.
Which, I mean, my excuse is I don't have time.
All right, let's jump into some shout outs. T, you're up.
I think I just gotta always shout out Yoda. He's the guy that has kept Sons of Guns running after I no longer had the wherewithal to do it. I want to shout out all the other co-leaders that are in Sons of Guns. We have a great team that's running events and organizing. And I want to shout out Kat, you do a great job of supporting us. I know Fox does a great job of supporting us. We're just like so pleased and happy since we've joined the Clash Files family. I think we were in a very different place beforehand, and I don't know that Sons of Guns would have survived if we didn't make the change that we made, which is saying something, because we're in such a great place now that it's almost like night and day. And I just want to shout out all the guys and girls that are in our clan, that are playing, anybody that stops by for, you know, just a couple friendly challenges or any of the events or one-on-ones that we do. it's just been pretty fun. Like, as much as the greater state of the game kind of has me in a state of blasé semi-depression, the actual community that I'm playing with and interacting with and engaging with, that's all great. that's nothing but positive, in my opinion.
You hear so often the community is what keeps everybody going. So, Peter, what about you?
See, I think that has to be the biggest shout-out we've ever had. Like, everybody in the CFF, I think that was great. Thanks for being on here. And thanks very much, actually, for, you know, reinvigorating the CFF. I think there are so many people that have joined because T resides here, and that's really great.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. I think it's true. I can't believe every time I tune in, there's a new name in the counting channel or something. I'm like, I don't know who that guy is, but I bet you he's following T.
Well, and there's such a great conversation that goes on in, well, pretty much any channel. People will start a thread. Strategic rushing, and they'll be chatting. And then there's T popping up to answer all these questions. So you shout you out for all your patience.
I appreciate you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And let's see. I'm going to shout out Morgan. He's the leader of Dark Sector and a longtime friend. And also going to shout out somebody that I've never shout out before. The people over in the CFF Clash Royale group. There's a few of us who actually play Clash and Clash Royale. BG, HBM, and Dang. If you play Clash Royale, check out Deep Dish. It's a lot of fun. The love-hate relationship with that game, but and then we're gonna throw out another Jezza song. The song's called Clash Is Out There. Jezza wrote this song for the OG CFF podcast that featured Rancid Meat and Halligan. It was a great podcast, and unfortunately most of the episodes are lost to the internet, but the song survives, so enjoy the song.
It's the Clash Files. It's an epic win. It's the Clash Files. They're giving peace a shot again. Clash Files. They're giving peace a shot again. Whoa, whoa, Clash is out there.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. The CFF is a family of clans who love to play various games such as Clash of Clans, Clash Royale, among others. You can send questions or comments to us on Twitter at RedthornCOC. To get more information on our clans, events, and podcasts, join the CFF Discord at discord.gg/clashfiles.